Let's turn our Bibles to Revelation chapter number 2. Revelation chapter number 2 and verse number 5. We're talking about apathy and how apathy silently comes into a Christian's life. Somebody that's very busy and really saps that passion and that power, it seems like, out of him. And we tend to end up doing things out of just pure emotion, and duty is important. All right, duty is important. I'm not belittling duty. Duty is so important. It needs to start and have it there. At any rate, you have to just do right by duty. But we can move past duty and have some passion about what we're doing. And not some days, you know, just like at any time as human beings, there's some days that we're excited and there's some days we're not. All right, and so don't take that to account. There's some bad news that will come that will just sap the energy out of you, and it's just going to be tough. And so it's just human in us to have maybe different mood swings. But we don't want to ride on those mood swings. We want to get where the Holy Ghost rests in our life, and that we can, from Him, tap supernatural energy to keep going, to keep going. He is faithful. And He gave us a power in the Holy Ghost that we don't have to rely on our own strength. All right. And so this apathy idea we've been talking about, we talked about defining what apathy was. And then we talked about diagnosing what it is, defining what it is, what could be the symptoms of you having apathy. And then we talked about the causes. We diagnosed some of the causes of it. And then we started last Sunday morning talking about some of the defeating this apathy. How are we going to defeat it? How are we going to win over having spiritual apathy? And we looked at Revelation chapter number 2 because the problem is presented to us by Jesus Christ in Revelation chapter number 2 and verse number 4. And for the sake of time, we're not going to stand. Just look at it. Look at verse 4 again. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. God did not tell them they were doing a poor job of their works. In fact, works, labor, and labor in verse 3, verse 2 is full, chock full of things that are really commendable with this church. They worked hard. They had patience. They went against false teaching. And I'm glad to be a part of a church that is busy for the gospel's sake. I'm glad we're busy. I'm glad. All right? But along busy work, we must not forget worship. All right? And worship is needed as we do more work for God. We need more time in worship. All right? And so we see here the problem that Jesus had with the Ephesian church is that they have lost their first love. They've lost the fire. They've lost that enthusiasm and that appetite, unquenchable appetite for Him in the busyness of work. And you find yourself doing that. Sometimes in the busyness of goal-oriented tasks, you want to get the goal done. And sometimes you do not enjoy the journey to get to the place where it gets done. All right? In life, there is a journey. This race is a lifelong race. And guess what? If you are going to have to stay at it and be faithful, you're going to have to learn to hang on to a faithful God that will get you from the place, next step, and to the next step. And if you don't, you will falter and you will fall. And so here we find His remedy. Look at verse number 5. And we looked at it last week. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen. That was the first point. Remember. And we talked about remembering. Every believer has the capacity to bring to mind what the relationship with Christ was like. All of us can go back to the time when we first got saved. And it should be a regular habit, by the way. Let me say this to you. It is not funny and it's not weird for you to go back to the time that you got saved. I was listening to a music as we were driving in here, and it brought me to the fact that my Jesus, I love Him. I adore Him. And I worship Him. Right? You need to get back to the places and time of reflection and say, my God is good. You have to have that in this day. You have to have that in this day when we're hearing news upon news upon news that is so negative and so takes the wind out of you. You need to have a remembrance of our blessed hope and our Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to fill it up, that void that this world has given to us, and the punch and punch and the blow here and the blow here. You're going to have to, you have to kind of figure out a way to walk out of that and say, hey, it'll be all right because I got Jesus on my side. I'm on the Lord's side. He's in control. I'm trying to raise a family in this mess. How am I going to make it? That's what I think sometimes. And Jesus says, well, I'm still on the throne, son. People are getting saved, son. People are getting baptized, son. Lives are still being transformed, son. I'm still on the throne and the blood still flows. And God says, hang on. And I have to go back to the time when it was, in my mind, wonderful. Wow, wonderful to be saved. And guess what? You're going to have some conniption fit. You're going to have some emotional remembrance and get back into it. And I don't want to sound weird, but you're going to have to psych yourself up and say, I'm saved. Jesus saved me, washed me. I'm cleansed. I have no worry of hell. I have heaven to look forward to. And the word of God and Jesus Christ is still true and relevant and powerful. Folks are still getting saved. I don't know if you're introverted and you don't want to do it in front of us. Could you do me a favor and go somewhere quiet, shut the door, and shout out the glory to God for my son getting saved? Could you do that for me? If you don't want to do it here, go find somewhere, do it. Because all of you had a part in my boy getting saved. Remember Pastor Cole on one of our sister church? He went out and I was excited. Pastor Cole, he's going to talk to my son. And Pastor Cole shared the gospel with Philip. And he said to me, he's just too all over the place. He's not paying attention. But I appreciate my pastor caring for my boy and wanting to witness to my boy. And I know that man prays for me and prays for my family. And I know you do too. And guess what? We can rejoice. We can rejoice. And any of these stories we're going to hear, I wish and I hope that you don't forget them. And we can rejoice when God answers our prayer. Go somewhere and remember again what God has done. Number two, repent. Repent. We see that in the verse number 5. Repent. And then on the latter part of the verse, repent. You see those two words there, same words, repent. And God has to have us change our mind about our sinful indulgences. And we need to determine now to break away from your lifestyle, being religious, and reverse the cooling trend by taking steps to rekindle your love for Christ. And you have to repent, all right? And you have to have, if the problem is you haven't confessed sin, then you have to go and repent and ask God to help you get over that, all right? And Psalm 16, we talked about in verse 11, thou wilt show me the path of life, in thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Turn to God away from your sin. And now we come to number 3 that we didn't finish. And you find that here in verse number 5. And it says, do the first works. Do, and they're not always exciting. The first works are not always exciting. Because for some reason, when you get experience, you feel like those first things are elementary. I'm better than that. I've arrived. I know better. And the pride of life has a way of taking those good things away from you. Don't let the devil rob you from reading your Bible. Don't let the devil rob you from having a personal prayer time. Don't let the devil rob you from opportunities to share the gospel one more time. Don't let the devil take away some of those Bible Christian discipline you learned as a young Christian and say, I don't need to do those anymore. Who told you that? Who's lying to you? Who told you I don't need to read the Bible no more? Who told you any of those things? Don't let the devil distract you and busy your life with so many things that compete with you doing the very basic Christian work. Just stop and rearrange your schedule, rearrange your life so that these things are sacred to you. I will be in my Bible every day, no matter what. Nothing is going to take that time from me. I'm going to be praying to God no matter what. Get back to the first work. Look at this. Do the first work. Everybody's waiting to do something great, and they're neglecting to do something small, and they don't realize the small things added up together make something amazing. We're worried about, oh, I get to lead Donald Trump to the Lord Jesus Christ, when you can't talk to the neighbor next to you. The devil lies to you. You're not good enough. And you neglect the simple things of Christian life. And the devil saps the power right out of you. Do the first work. Do the first work. In addition to remembering their former condition and repenting of their present condition, Jesus urged the Ephesian believers to resume their former conduct. The deeds they did at first were prompted by love. And like I said again, I warned you, duty is important. If at anything, do it by duty's sake. Because duty is love, all right? But don't rely on just that. Don't just do it by mere character. Don't do it on the human level only. Go to God and He will give you supernatural strength. And so, at first we're prompted by love, not obligation. With a heart fleshly revived, the deeds would now be done with the renewed enthusiasm and a deeper sense of satisfaction. And we have to, in our minds, stop waiting for something to get us in the mood. What has to happen for you to enjoy your Christianity? What has to happen? Do you want God to show up here? What has to happen? For you to get ignited again, for you to get excited about your all-powerful God, what has to happen when you lose the appreciation for God waking you up today? Your life is borrowed. We have no idea if we have another day. And when God wakes you up in the morning, instead of you complaining and griping, won't you say this? Thank you, Lord, for extended life. Thank you for this life that you extended for me. Some of you think you're invincible. A 26-year-old young lady died Saturday. Probably has no clue. Probably had no idea that was going to be her last day. And God chose to give you another day. Every time you wake up, I do this now as a habit. Every day, I just say, thank you, Lord, for extending my borrowed life. Thank you, I'm alive today. Because you have no guarantee if you're alive today, let alone your ideas and your ambitions and your life. You're promoting your... We think we're so important. And we wake up not even recognizing that you're alive because simply God did not let go. He holds your breath in His hand. He kept you breathing today. And you wake up today, and you are going to gripe and complain about every little thing that happens. And you haven't thanked God for simply being alive today. That may help you in the morning to get up. It might change your mind a little bit and say, hey, thank you for this day, Lord. And since you gave it to me, I'm sure you have purpose for it. What would that be for me today? And I guarantee you, it's not what you're thinking. It's not you to repost or respond to a post. It might not be. It might not be there. It might not be the agenda you're, I can't wait till this, I'm going to. It might not be that. You know what I'm saying? If the issue is a lack of spiritual discipline, I'm talking about these first steps. Do the first work. Start small. Maybe you've never started, but start small. Start somewhere. If the Bible reading has become stale, shift gears. Alright? And try listening to an audio version. Okay? If your prayers have become repetitive or you don't know what to say, pray the Psalms. Go to the book of Psalms, read it, and then pray it. Alright? Read the book of Psalms. Or grab a hymn book. Grab a hymn book. And pray those songs as they are your own heart's desire. Okay? Shake things up. But start somewhere. Anywhere. So it's worth repeating. Start small. Alright? And then pray that God will enable you to take more steps forward and sustain you in continuing those steps. He is at work in you to will and to act for His good pleasure. We know that in Philippians 2:13. It is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. During these times when we feel like we are passing through a spiritual wilderness, it is critical that we keep practicing our spiritual disciplines. In particular, Bible reading, prayer, and meeting with other Christians for worship. These disciplines are means that God uses to strengthen us and protect us, and we need to keep at them even when we do not feel like it. To paraphrase an old lesson from sailing, when the wind dies, you need to start rowing. When the wind dies, you need to start rowing. You see, duty and worship are intermixed in here. But you cannot live on sheer duty. You can't be rowing all of your Christian life. You can't be rowing all your Christian life. There has to be some rowing that has to happen, that sheer character and just discipline. And then sometimes you're going to feel God move. And the wind will come. And you can let go of the rowing for a little while and get yourself some breathing room. And let God take you. It's together with God. Christian life, it's not just about your strength getting it done. That's why no man will glory in heaven someday when we come to the finish line. We have to say, it's only by your grace, Lord, and your help, I got to the finish line. Because there were some times in my life I had no strength to finish, but you came through and helped me out. But at the same time, you can't be going to heaven being lazy and say, well, God did all the work. No, there's a part of you that have to be involved. There's some days we have to be rowing. In this Faith Bible Baptist Church, there's some fat years. There's some lean years. There's some exciting times. Guess what? Listen to this. There's some not so exciting times. All right? And those not exciting times, guess what? There's some rows. Come on down. There's some rows. Let's row. But there's some exciting times. Let go. Let the sail out and like, woo! And just rest in God's doing stuff, all right? What we do matters. And more than that, who we worship is worthy. Look at Revelation 4, verse 11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Don't forget that you are in an act of worship, all right? You are worshiping the Almighty God that is worthy of worship. If the issue is filling your mind with too much triviality, consider fasting from Twitter, other social media platforms, all right, even your phone for a short season. There's a place that I recollected doing this. I think it was Chick-fil-A. Wasn't it Chick-fil-A, dear? When we were on furlough, one of the fast food places had this. They had a box, and when you ordered your food, it might be Jack in the Box down in the South. I don't remember, but I can distinctly remember this. We were presenting our work in Alabama, totally out of our element there, from New York. Could hardly understand what was being said. And vice versa. They know I'm not from New York. I have a different accent. And we just kind of were cordial. Because, you know, we just had to be cordial. And we were eating. And I remember the waiter goes, if you guys want ice cream as a dessert, it's in the house. It's on the house. If you decide right now to put your phones in this box, and you can take it with you where you're sitting. We're not going to steal your phone. That's not our idea here. But if you don't ever use the phone while you eat here and dine together, you can bring your box of phones back to me, and each phone represents a dessert for free on the house. And I said, wow. Well, we did it, and we got the ice cream, you know, for 30 minutes of good. I don't have to look at my phone, you know, and so it was good. Other social platform, okay, even your cell phone for a short season. You know your phone is set that it gives you how much screen time you have on it. It'll tell you. Mine tells me every Sunday morning on my way to church. It tells me how much time I spent on my phone for the entirety of the week. Now, I use my phone as a tool, and I'm using it right now, even right here. All right? I use it as a tool. I have all my lists in there. All my sermons are on my phone. I can access it anywhere I need to with a device. That's the way I have done it. But I understand if you're on that. But if you're doing things that are not important, why are you on your phone? Seek to cultivate a sense of meaning by only reading long-form material. That is, edited articles or books, all right, that require you to slow down and reflect and respond thoughtfully. A problem of our day is not the amount of knowledge we have. The problem of our day is we're not sitting down to chew on them. The problem is that we don't know and we don't have the ability to know. The problem is we're not sitting enough for it to digest. We want everything so fast. And we don't have ideas in our culture representing slow down, reflect on what just happened. We talked about Donald Trump being shot. Nobody talked to me about it today. How long ago was that? That is an unprecedented event. That has never happened in my time. Where a president that is running for office and trying to win an election gets shot. In our neck of the woods. Correct? And look at how long it took us to forget. 1 week. And remember, we couldn't stop talking about it, all of us. We got here on that Sunday. Do you remember that? That's our culture. Some of you are not, the problem is you're not getting good preaching. The problem is you're not getting good materials from the Word of God. I think the problem is you're not slowing enough down to really digest what you're hearing. Because you are conditioned to go to the next thing. Go to the next thing. Go to the next thing. And so God is trying to say, it's like Philip that runs all over. Stop! Stop! Sit for a second. And you know what Kant did for that little boy? I think that was a good, structured, scheduled time that Kant did, really structured it. And he had no choice that every night he was going to listen to a Bible message. And I think the Lord took it all the way to Thursday night for him to finally sit still enough to digest what's happening. Right? In our Christian faith, you know why you're not getting anything out of your Bible reading? Maybe you're reading too fast. Maybe your attention is to the fact that I need to check this X mark. Maybe you need to slow down. Maybe what you need to do is re-listen to some messages on the live stream. That might be a good thing about live stream. You listen to maybe Pastor Cole or a couple of the people preach or myself, and you said, that was really good. I want to go back and listen to that again with everything quiet around me. And I want to see. You know, I'm not serving in the nursery. I'm not over here doing toddler class. I'm not downstairs in the clubs. I am not trying to run the whole thing, a junior church. Maybe when that's off, I want to re-listen to some messages. Not that we're any great preacher, but God uses men, and maybe you just need to slow down and listen to what God is trying to say to you. That could be the problem where you're not getting sustenance, right? You're not getting sustenance. It's going through you so fast, your body cannot take the nutrients out of it to help you. It's going way out so fast. A lot of times, the best thing to do is just simply take away the distraction. The most spiritual thing you could do, probably, in this idea of sustaining yourself and letting God work through you and going forward, the best thing you probably could do is simply take away distractions. Take it all away. Take the music. Learn to do this. You got a 20-minute ride? Shut everything off. No music this time. Just shut it all off. I know I find myself always talking to the Lord or thinking, I'm not trying to be spiritual to you. This has become a second nature. I'm just thinking about situation upon situation. And I'm, God, what am I going to do about this? This happened last week. What am I going to do about this? Lord, I need to do this. I don't have the time. You know all that's happening? When I'm driving. Nobody's in the car. The music has its place. At times, like I said, on the way here, I was getting ready to try to be in the Spirit of God, and music helps me. And so I listen to it, but I don't do it all the time. And there was times that I'm just in deep pondering, just thinking. Thinking, 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 thinking. And if you're thinking, God can be in your thoughts, and God and you can be working on something together, and He will bring verses, He'll bring messages, He'll bring other pastors. You were at camp, and you heard this message, and He's just going to keep helping you and helping you. And by the time you know it, there'll be a shouting fit in the car. You'll be saying, praise the Lord! Make sure you do it, because drive properly so that people don't think you're mad at them. You know? And sometimes you're going to have to do those things. You need to have some time of reflection and respond thoughtfully. We are in a crisis of meaninglessness. And we exacerbate it by being less reflective and more reactive. Give yourself the time and space to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. I said this last time. Take some recharging moments. I need to recharge. All I need to do is plug into God. I don't need to be on my phone looking at everything. It's time to shut it off. Boom. It's gone. It needs to be plugged in. Boom. Left alone. And as a Christian, if you're going to last for a long time and be usable and be effective and be relevant all the way through your life, you need to learn to charge up with Jesus. You're not busy. You just have it all down. And you're just charging with Jesus Christ. He'll help you. Ephesians 4:23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Work, busyness does not replace worship, reflection, and looking unto God and saying how worthy He is. It needs you to stop being busy so you can look at the meaning of God and who He is and how wonderful He is and how great He is and how He's wanting to work with you. And He's going to use you to save somebody. He's going to use you to do this, to do this. God speak to quiet people in quiet places. You just have to stop being so busy. Well, that's not working in my life. I need to do more things. The solution might not be the case. The case might be you just need to do some reflecting. You need to get in that Bible and really pray to God and say, God, I don't want to just read this to read it. I want to get something out of this Bible. If it takes me, I don't know how long, I'll give you some time, Lord. I have this time I want to give to you. Please, I want you to make my Bible reading relevant to me today. Make it alive to me. And I think God will get in with you and help you see Him for who He is. Because some of you, you're going like this to God. It's like, Philip! Where is Philip? And God is trying to get his attention. Come here! He's gone. I'm going to go on a short-term mission trip. Take God with you. I'm going to go to the Dunker Fair. Take God with you. Americans were just and God is like, slow down. Slow down, son. I need to talk to you. And we don't have any reflection. There is no downtime. Look at your schedule. Do you have any downtime? Do you have any downtime to reflect on your Father? Do you have any time and say to yourself, or you get up early in the morning and you go to bed late at night? Most of us. Well, guess what? That Heavenly Father is going to get dull to us. And our love to Him is going to wane because we don't simply give Him the time. Maybe all we need to do is say, all right, on Monday night at 6, 8 p.m., right before I eat, I'm going to go to my room, and for 30 minutes, I'm going to shut everything off. I'm going to turn my phone off, and I'm just going to reflect on the Word of God. I'm just going to look at it maybe, and I'm going to read a portion of it. I'm going to sing to the Lord. Have you ever sang to the Lord by yourself? It's a nice thing to do. It's not a weird thing to do. If the Holy Spirit's working in your heart, you're going to have a song. Singing in your hearts, making melody to the Lord. You'll find yourself singing. Sing to the Lord. All right? You need to make it till the end. We all need to make it to the end. We have to make it to the end. And the only thing we need, the only way we do that is we need to get renewed. We looked at Luke chapter number 4, Luke chapter number 10, 39 to 42, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving and came to Him and said, Lord, dost Thou not care that my sister had left to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. Make her busy like me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful. This is kind of Ephesians chapter number 2 to Ephesus. Jesus is saying the same thing here to Martha. But one thing is needful, and Mary had chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. And a lot of times, for us and people burn out because they don't simply take the time to go with God on a date. Take God out for a date. He's available. He's saying, I have time for you on my schedule. I have all the time for you in my schedule. The question is about you. Do you have time for me in your schedule? Bring Him and let Him be a very, very, very real part of your life. We need a healthy rhythm of receiving and giving in order to have an energized, apathy-free faith. We change our faith through spiritual habits. We charge our faith through spiritual habits. So Bible reading and prayer and meditation and reflection should recharge us. It should not bore us. It should not be work. It should be, whew, this is nice. Something is going wrong with you in your Bible reading, in your prayer, when you come out of it bored. There's something wrong that you're doing in your prayer life and in your discipleship, in your reading, in your relationship with Jesus Christ, when you come out of your devotion and you are exhausted with God. I'm tired. It should be a shouting moment. It should be, for you to be weird like me, you know. It should be when you come out of it, you feel recharged. You feel, I'm ready for the day. I got the game plan from my Father. I know what I need to do today. I'm going. I'm recharged. So you might have to change what you're doing. If you're doing a checklist to read the Bible through a year, you may have to slow down. Make 2 years to read it through your Bible. I'm not promoting laziness. I'm promoting for you to have meaningful interaction with God. meaningful interaction. I'm sorry if I'm boring you. As a preacher, I'm trying not to. But maybe I'm boring you. But it could be not my fault. It could be you're disengaged because you are tired. You're tired. You remember when it was like to be at the edge of your seat anytime preaching is happening? Anybody remember that? That's where we all need to be. And if we're not at the edge of our seat, and it's become dull, it's become mundane, it's not necessarily the fault of the preacher. It could be because you're not in tune with your God. Man, if I sit through a preaching and I just, now am I surely exhausted because I've worked so hard? Well, there's your answer. Maybe get a day off. Maybe not work so hard. I'm watering my tie. That's what I do there. So we need a healthy rhythm, all right, of receiving and giving. Just like breathing. You know you'll die if you just keep breathing in. Try it. Don't ever exhaust. Don't ever breathe out. Just keep breathing in. Eventually you'll die. And you can't just breathe out all the time. You'll die. Try it. You'll die. You need both to happen in your life. What a clear example for us of what God wants us in Christian faith. We feel like we have to always... and so busy. And God says, relax. Relax, son. Relax. Take a deep breath. Does that make you feel good when you're breathing properly? Those that are having problems, I'm praying for some of you that have problems with your heart. You know how it affects you every day when it's not in rhythm. So is work and worship. Work and worship. Work and worship. My wife and I have worked 3 weeks in a row. I'm just using it as an example. What you're always using is because it's clear. Nobody's going to get mad at us. Hopefully, don't get mad at us. We're using ourselves all the time. But this last week we're going to is going to be where I'm going to go and take my family is time. Why? Because August is coming around the corner and we have parade coming. We have BBS coming. So guess what? In order to make it all the way down there, we'll take a breather this next week. Because we've been busy the last 3 weeks. Learn to apply that in your Christian faith so you can survive next year. So guess what? July next year, to be honest with you, I'm not afraid of it. Why? Because I'm setting up and have daily habits of work and worship. Work and worship. Work and worship. I'm giving out, but I'm also getting in. I'm giving out, and I'm getting in. I'm giving out, and I'm getting in. All right? We are to serve in the power of the Holy Ghost and not in the flesh. And we know that, and that could be a disastrous thing. Galatians 3:3, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect in the flesh? And the answer to that is obviously no. We are empowered by the Holy Ghost. We got saved through His working in our life. We worship and serve God with His leading and His power. Galatians 4:9, but now, after they have known God, rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak? Our flesh is weak. Now turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto you desire again to be in bondage. Because our flesh is not where the strength lies. We need to go to the Holy Ghost. All right? And my time has expired. Let me give you this and give you verses that goes with them. Because I need to be done with this message. Here are some more practical ways to overcoming spiritual apathy. All right? Number one, practice gratitude. Practice gratitude. Focus on the good around you, from your family to your ministry. To promises found throughout the Bible. Then thank God for them. By thanking God for His provisions, no matter how small they seem, You'll restore perspective and reinvigorate your faith. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and in his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Psalms 104. Number two, petition for help. Petition for help. You shouldn't and don't have to struggle alone. Lean on close friends, family, and loved ones to help you get through your spiritual apathy. Ask them for help keeping you accountable for your goals towards spiritual growth, whether that's reading your Bible or intentionally setting aside time to pray. We're here in it together, and we're here to help one another. Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Number three, partner with others. Partner with others. Don't be too proud or ashamed to ask for help when needed. Instead, seek out like-minded individuals who share your calling. Attend conferences or retreats geared towards spiritual growth. Or join groups dedicated to encouraging one another. All right? Find that in the church. Help find those encouraging people in the church to help you. Philippians 2:1-4, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any vows of mercy, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowness of mind, let esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of other. Here's another practical one, number four. Pursue fresh inspiration. Pursue fresh inspiration. Diversify the content you're consuming. Watch a different preacher. All right. Be careful what preacher you're watching. Make sure they're preaching the truth. Ask us. There's other preacher we can give you so you can be listening to other good sounded preacher, good man that believe the scripture. All right. I practice not only listening to Pastor Cole, I listen to other groups of independent fundamental Baptist preachers. I follow them. We follow them. John Marshall is one of the guys we listen to. There's other people we listen to. Okay. We can help you. All right. So that it'll give you some inspiration. All right. Inspiration will help you at times. Can't live on inspiration only, but it'll help you kickstart and get moving, all right? Watch a different preacher. Open up a new book. Grab a Bible study you haven't read in a while, all right? Or listen to a podcast. That's a new thing. The youngs, you want to talk about raising a family in this crazy world? The youngs are a group that we listen to. My wife, I think, is going to Francie Taylor at Lighthouse Baptist Church. We listen to her podcast on relationship. Wow, God has blessed that lady with some wisdom from Scripture on how to relate and work with other people. A lot of the things I'm saying to you guys, I'm getting from her. You have a problem with that, right? She's got it from the Bible. But good stuff, right? Good stuff. All the things I'm giving to you, I'm getting this from other people. I'm researching, I'm studying, looking at the Scripture. All right. Diversify. Listen to a podcast. Exploring different resources can help reignite the passion lost during an apathetic season. Lamentations 3:22-24. It is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. And this is the battleground for apathy spiritually. You lack hope. There is no meaning to what you're doing. But see, if you're with the Lord, he is your portion. He will give you hope. His love does not fail you. And there's something new for you every single day of your life. There's no staleness with worshiping and worship and loving on God. Number five, ponder quietly. Ponder quietly. And it's important to make space for quiet reflection. It's crucial to step away from the hustle and bustle of your job and focus on resting in God's presence. These quiet moments will provide clarity, refreshments, renewal, and a restored joy in ministry. Try it. Try it. Guarantee you, it'll help you. Try it. All right? Be still, Psalms 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. That represents reflection, pondering, meditating. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Number six, prioritize organization. Prioritize organization. Take the time to learn skills and tools to help you manage your time wisely. You don't have to work harder if you can work smarter. Order brings peace of mind. Having a checklist, develop a schedule, come up with a budget. All of these things are human tools, practical ways to help you in life to cope up with the craziness of life. All right? Order brings peace. 1 Corinthians 14:40. Let all things be done decently and in order. You know what will excite you? Is go to your basement and section out an area and say, this area is my battleground. I will organize this area right here. It will help you. It will help you. Number seven, persist. Don't pause. This is the last, and we're done tonight. Persist. Don't pause. If you're feeling spiritual apathy, don't give up hope. God never gives up on us. He will always provide a way out. With His help, you can overcome any obstacles. If you're feeling spiritual apathy, don't give up hope. Galatians 6 and verse number 9 tells us, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And let us not grow weary, right? God never gives up on us. He will always provide a way out. With His help, you can overcome any obstacle. If you're suffering through some spiritual apathy, it might be subtle. It might be nobody knows. Nobody knows you're experiencing it, but you do. Then do something about it. There's some seven practical things to do that could help you. Christianity should be sweeter as the days go by. It should be meaningful and more meaningful as the days progress. The result of you being bored with it, the result of you being, there's nothing to this, I'm tired of it, something is wrong in your area of worship, and maybe you're overworked. Learn to breathe in and breathe out spiritually. Learn to breathe in and breathe out spiritually. Don't be lazy, but don't think that working hard for Jesus is the end goal, all right? You need to do both, all right? Work and worship. Let's pray. Lord, thank you again for all those that are here tonight. Pray for those that are not with us, some are other country doing work for you in mission work. Bless them, and some of them are traveling back home. Pray for others, Lord, that are at the fair. Others, Lord, that are out doing vacation. Help them to get some refreshment. As they come back to us, I pray that they'll be energized and ready to serve you again. Help all of us here that are busy doing some kind of service for you, Lord, that we would learn to set aside time of reflection, that we will get energized. Help us to learn to plug in spiritually. Help us to find the Holy Ghost is what we need to help us. Lord, help us in our lives, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.